بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and welcome to this week's edition of Revival in Motion, our opportunity to learn, to go back to the basics, to review what we may have learned in our younger days with the intention to apply what we learn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in this journey. Ameen. Our guest for today is the esteemed Maulana Ahmad Aku, and Maulana will be taking us through in this first segment on the topic of Rida. We'll be learning more from Maulana on the topic of what Rida is, we'll be understanding it in more detail, and Maulana will be sharing with us some nasiha on the program today, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum Maulana, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair, Maulana, for your time with us on the program today. We are very grateful for it. Maulana, if we could start by asking, what does the term riba mean? We hear it very often. What does it mean?
Bismillah wa salli ala rasulil kareem amma ba'd. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, mashallah, I must commend such a wonderful program and what an amazing topic, mashallah. What does the term riba mean? Perhaps we've heard this word many times in our life, and perhaps we've also mentioned it in supplications and dua, but with regards to its actual meaning, it comes from the word rabiya, which means to be happy, to be pleased. And I think from the time we were young and we went to madrasa, we perhaps heard the term many times in our life of raba bil qada, being pleased with the decision and destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed for us in our lives in this world. So in essence, just the basic simple meaning of the word riba is for a person to be content and to be pleased with whatever the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, especially with regards to our lives in this world and whatever challenges or whatever we experience, whether it's good, whether it's not so good. All that, remember, is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to be pleased with that is actually what is the term, or what is the meaning of the term riba.
Inshallah. So, Maulana, we understand this and riba now meaning to be pleased. Pleased, can Maulana elaborate on that for us? Is it to be pleased with the condition that we are in the state that we are in, the challenges that we have? If Maulana could elaborate for us, please.
Well, it's absolutely comprehensive in terms of every aspect of our life. If we look at one supplication that we have been taught to recite by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that also forms part of the morning and evening supplications of a believer, which goes as follows for us to say, Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasoola wa nabiyya, that we declare that we are pleased, we are happy, and we are elated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Lord, and Islam as the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us, and with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the chosen favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that declaration alone is for us to be pleased with that, the fact that Allah blessed us with iman. That's the most comprehensive meaning of the word riba. And to be pleased with what? To be pleased first and foremost with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the quality of iman. But over and above that, to be pleased with the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon a believer. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's in absolute supreme control of every single atom, of every single thing with regards to the world. Sometimes we might feel that I'm in charge of this, or I'm in charge of that, or I can do this and I can do that, and this is my responsibility. Yes, every person has their duties and has their responsibilities that we need to carry out in our lives in this world. But ultimately, who's the one that's in control? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's in complete control, then whatever condition comes upon you, Allah tells us in the Quran, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ illa bi-idhnillah. There is no challenge and no difficulty that comes down upon humanity except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to be pleased with whatever is my current situation right now, to know that this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, we also believe in the aspect of cause and effect, because when we look at it, and as we speak further on this topic, we will touch on that important aspect of cause and effect. But we're talking about in general, if I'm doing what I need to do as a believer and my life is focused and I'm on the path of seeking straight path and my aim is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I'm on that road and there are difficulties, there are challenges and there are problems that come upon me, then I sincerely know and I'm pleased with the fact that Allah is the one that's in complete control.
Inshallah. Maulana, what would be some of the signs of a mu'min who is pleased with Allah's decree? One thing is a person, we can say it verbally, but to really have that in our action. Now, what are some of the signs, something we can work towards? But firstly, the signs of a believer who is pleased with Allah.
I think first and foremost, the first calculate sign, and just to continue on the aspect of cause and effect that we spoke about earlier, what are the signs of a person truly being pleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a person having the quality or the aspect of remorse in his life? Firstly, we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us via the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا إِبْتَلَاهُمْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a nation or Allah loves an individual, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests that person and puts challenges and difficulties upon them in their journey through life. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى. Whoever is pleased with the fact that this is a condition that has come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also warned us and said, وَمَنْ سَخِطَهُ. And whoever is unhappy and now displeased with this decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in turn they are actually incurring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, riba is such a quality that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of that condition. Allah, he would ask Allah to grant him that quality of riba. And in fact, it was more a lesson for us to be making the same dua with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَسْأَلُكَ الرِّضَى بَعْدَ الْقَضَى. Oh Allah, I'm asking you to grant me contentment, to grant me acceptance, and to grant me the ability to be pleased with whatever is your decision that comes down upon us, or whatever is your decree for us in this world. So the signs of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this quality is, number one, we have that inner sense of contentment. You know, as I begin up on this topic, there's an amazing discussion of scholars where they speak about the difference between sabr and riba. In fact, they highlight the quality of riba as being the highest station of a believer over and above the great quality of sabr and patience and forbearance. We know we always speak about being patient in difficult times, and we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken at great length with regards to the immense reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to those people that patiently go through difficulties and hardship. But the scholars very beautifully speak about the subtle difference between patience and between riba, because they say when a person is patient, you're going through hardship, you're going through difficulty, and you know that this has come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in your patience, you have the great desire for the difficulty to be removed and taken away from you. That is found with the quality of patience. But they say that the difference between riba is that a person goes through difficulty and hardship, he does not have that intense desire for the difficulty to be totally removed and wiped away from his life, because he knows that this is what Allah wants me to go through right now. So I do feel the pain, and it's extremely difficult for me to to pay it. But I do, I am pleased in this condition because this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at the life of the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find that in the most difficult and intense moments that they experience in this world, you don't find them having this intense desire. It should have never been this way in the first place. I should have never went through this difficulty and hardship. Why am I going through pain? Why am I going through this difficulty? But what you do find is their focus being on the fact that if this is what Allah wanted for me, I'm happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this quality or this aspect of remorse was very, very profoundly found in the lives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, in the lives of all those that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is perhaps the greatest station of a believer, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attaining His pleasure, is the greatest acquisition of any human being.
SubhanAllah. Mawlana, how can we now begin to nurture the quality of this greatest acquisition of this riba in our lives? We're listening to the program and we make this intention that we want to have this quality, this noble quality within us as well, and to cultivate and nurture it. What are the steps? How do we begin? Where do we start?
Well, no, sister, operation has, in light of the unpredictable nature of life that we're experiencing right now, and the challenges that people are facing on so many fronts, there has been a topic that I've been discussing recently, and that is titled as follows: that the greater the vision, the more the ability to withstand difficulty and hardship. So, in answering the question of how can we begin to nurture the quality of riba in our lives, I think first and foremost, let's focus on this topic. What is our goal? What is our vision? Where are we headed towards? What is our plan for the road ahead of each and every one of us? And there's two ways we can look at it. Number one, you get a person that is living in the world only for the world. That person has a vision. That person has a goal, but it's actually a very short-term goal and it's a very short-term vision because it's confined only to the world. And the less the goal, the less the vision, the lesser the ability to go through difficulty or to withstand the hardship. But as a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single Muslim, every single mu'min has a very, very long road ahead of them. We're only in this world for a short period of time, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. When we look at the Islamic age, 1443, and it's 1,443 years only since the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. So there's a lot of time that has passed so far in the world. There's a lot of time still to pass, and there's a long road ahead of each and every single believer. He only above the surface of the earth for a very short period of time. But when we look at those people that have been entered into their graves, there are people lying beneath the surface of the earth for thousands of years. And then there's also going to be the day that we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah speaks about it, the length of that day, Husina al-Fasana. In one verse of the Quran, Allah says, 50,000 years is only the duration of the day of Qiyamah. And every single day of the year after is so much more longer than the entire existence of the world. So if you have such a long journey ahead, then we need to have a great goal and a great vision. And the greater the goal, the greater the vision, the more the ability to withstand difficulty and hardship. So in nurturing the quality of riba in our lives, the first thing that we need to do is ask ourselves, what is our goal? What is our vision? Where are we headed towards? If it's a long road ahead, then we automatically, psychologically bracing ourselves for the difficulties, for the challenges that will be on that road, because we know we have a destination that we're headed towards. But if we have a short vision and a short goal and an incomplete or no goal, then obviously any mishap or any difficulty or any challenge that's going to come upon us in this world is really going to weigh very heavily on our shoulders, because we have not braced ourselves for the long haul and for the long road ahead.
Indeed, indeed. SubhanAllah, lots for us to reflect on. And remember, listeners, the program is up on podcast. You can play back to the interview, make notes, listen back again to take the gems from the segment, inshallah. Maulana, your gentle nasiha to our listeners, we really look forward to asking our guests, the scholars, to share with us any nasiha that you feel we need to be hearing right now. What would Maulana like to share with our listeners as nasiha for the week, please?
I think let's keep it to this wonderful topic of the quality of rizq being due to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and imparting advice to our listeners. I think most importantly, let's focus on the supplication morning and evening. Maybe we can just go through it a few times. Rabbitu billahi rabba, we are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as what will be the Islam, the Deena, and with Islam as the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us. وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. In this the actual words of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is and not just recited, but generally because of respecting the blessed name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should we add or the recitation of the Durood by saying وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alaihi wasallam رَسُولًا وَنَبِيًّا. But this is a wonderful supplication that we need to concentrate on, and we need to ponder over its meaning. رَبِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا بالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسوله ونبيا. The more we recite this dua, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the more we are actually concentrating our minds and our hearts of the fact that we are absolutely happy, absolutely elated, we content, we so overjoyed with the fact that Allah is our Lord, Allah is the one that's in control, and the way of life of Islam, Allah has blessed us with this great gift, and we are also elated, we are overjoyed with the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our guide, is our beloved Prophet, the one that we love the most. We'll be coming close also to the month of Rabiul Awwal as well. We're going to be reminding ourselves of the legacy, the life of the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when morning and evening you recite this dua, then you are basically conscientizing your mind and your heart with regards to the aspect of rizq, and also our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our dedication to Islam. But coming back to a point that was highlighted here, that the greatest station that a believer can reach is the quality of the aspect of rizq. When we are entered into paradise, remember that is the ultimate success, that's the greatest achievement, to be entered into the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers. So the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that when the people of Jannah will be entered into Jannah and they will be enjoying all the bounties and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will announce to the people of paradise and say, Ya Ahdal Jannah, O people of paradise. Immediately they will respond and they will say, Labbaika Rabbana wa Sa'adik. They will say, Oh Allah, we are here, we are present, we are listening to you, Oh Allah. And Allah will ask them, Pandrabitum, tell me, are you all happy and are you all pleased? Is everything okay? How are you all right now? And the people of Jannah will say, Malana la, oh Allah, why shouldn't we be over the moon and overjoyed when you have given us what you have not given anyone else from your creation? You have blessed us with paradise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them that, listen, if you think this is a great blessing of mine, and if you are so happy with the fact that I've just given your entry into paradise, then I need to inform you of something which is way better than paradise and Jannah. And the people of paradise will say, Oh Allah, what do you see in afdala min dhalik? What can possibly be better than paradise? I mean, that's what we're all aiming for. That's what we all work towards. What can be better than Jannah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond and say that what is better than paradise and Jannah is Ridwan, in the fact that I am pleased with each and every one of you. I'm happy with you. That is in Jannah and paradise itself. Not only that, Fala fatu alaykum ba'dahu abada. The declaration is that I am so happy with each and every one of you that are in paradise, that from this moment going forward, I will never ever be angry or upset with any one of you. So the greatest blessing, even greater than Jannah, is to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that can be attained when we are content and pleased with whatever Allah's decision is for each and every one of us in our life.
Inshallah, inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا مولانا for your time today, for sharing with us on this topic and making it so simple for us to understand, and also to be now motivated and inspired to begin working towards having this quality in our lives and asking those important questions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you well. جزاكم الله خيرا مولانا, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it an angel benefit for myself and inshallah all our listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, we've been speaking to Mawlana Ahmed Akhu on the program today on the topic of riba, and you can play back to this podcast to listen back, make notes, and inshallah with the niyyah to work towards it. Do stay with us. A warm welcome to our second segment of the hour here on Radio Islam. Welcome. On the program Revival in Motion, it is about us going back to the basics of Islam. And to do so, we review much of what we may have learned in our early days of Islam, or if we had grown up in a Muslim home and family, then what we had learned in our madrasa days. The importance of this is to ensure that we have these regular reminders, for as the Quran Kareem teaches us, reminders benefit the believer. And to encourage us to take action, to live by what we've learned. Otherwise, it just stays as information. For that information to become knowledge and to have the barakah of that ilm, that knowledge, and the ilm al-nafi' which we ask Allah for, beneficial knowledge, is to practice upon that information that we learn. May Allah make us the seekers of truth and those who apply our knowledge. Ameen. As always on the program, we share with you a Quran reflection, and today's comes from Surah Fussilat, Ayah 35, wherein the translation is, "And none are made to receive it but those who are patient, and none are made to receive it but those who have a mighty good fortune." Everything that has ever happened to you and I is happening to us and will happen to us by Allah's divine will. Everything happens for a reason, and a good reason. Behind a reason is a lesson that will make us stronger and wiser. And so it is important, no matter what season of life we are in, that we keep turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Let the wisdom that we gained out of our situation make a good change for us and help us turn back to our Rabb with a heart full of faith and hope and gratitude always. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for us, He tests us with hardship. And each step in life that we take will only make us stronger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly knows what is good for us, and He is the best of all planners. Every delay is not denial, but just to wait for the best to come our way. The reward of the patient never goes in vain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to respond to our call whenever we call Him. He is nearer to us, closer to us than our jugular vein. Allahu Akbar. Just take a moment to reflect on that and how close Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to you and I. Allah is the one who has the full knowledge of the situation, the hardship, the difficulty, the challenge that we are in our lives. And He alone is the one who will bring us through it. And so we must trust in Allah's plan for us in life. We must have complete faith and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith. أصلح لي شأني كله ولا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. The dua we've shared many times on the program, and the dua is, O ever-living one, O self-sustaining one, by all mercy do I ask for your support in setting all my affairs right. Do not leave me to my soul for so much as the blink of an eye. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard and protect the entire ummah. And may Allah ease all our worries and accept all our ibadah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our lives with peace and happiness, with afia, with khair, and with barakah. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Today I wish to share with you this reflective post on the value of dua. It was the habit of Aisha radiallahu anha that whenever a beggar used her, ask her for something and make dua for her, as is the habit of many beggars, she would give the beggar whatever he asked for, and she would also return the dua of the beggar. And so someone asked Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha once, why do you give the beggar what he asks for and also make dua for him? To which Aisha radiallahu anha responded, if I give the beggar wealth and he gives me dua, then what he has given me is in reality more valuable than what I gave him. Hence, I will owe him for his favor. I therefore return his dua with a similar dua so that I will not be indebted to him for his dua, and thereafter give him whatever he asks for. In this manner, I ensure that I receive the full reward of my sadaqah. So dearest listeners, what is the lesson that we learn here? We learn here that the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly understood the value of dua. And hence, they did not regard any person's dua as trivial or insignificant. Because you do not know whose dua may gain acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of viewing beggars as a nuisance, we should view them as a means of earning both du'as and the pleasure of Allah. We should thank Allah for sending the beggar to us, instead of us having to go out in search of a person to whom we could give the sadaqah. And really, when we think about it and when we reflect upon it, really this is, you know, the reality of the times that we are living in. We think about our elders, our elderly grandparents, the older generation. They would really, you know, take that value of dua. They would always be making dua, always giving dua. The minute someone made dua for them, they would make dua back in exchange. They would always ask. And even till now, the older generation will ask people, will ask, you know, different ages, people of different ages to make dua. Even children, they would ask. They would say, ask these ma'asum, ask these innocent servants of Allah to make dua. And you would hear the elderly people going to the little children, those that are in preschool or primary school, and say, make dua for me to get well, make dua for me, I'm going for an operation, make dua for my eyes. You know, I remember even growing up, my grandmother would say, you know, make dua. And I once told, I said, but I'm so small still. You know, I think I was still in primary school. And I said, I'm so small. You know, like, meaning my duas are nothing really. And she said, no, you don't know whose dua Allah is going to be answering, whose dua He's going to be listening to. And I think that's so important for us to put that full yaqeen, that full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking of Allah, ya Allah, you know, accept my dua, and then asking other people to make dua like that for you. And really, we don't know whose dua can be answered. We could be saved from an accident. That could be someone's dua that was made for us, right? It could be so many calamities that we could be saved from, and we don't know whose dua has saved us, whose dua has helped us gain that success in our work, in our studies, in our career, in our exam results. So always be giving dua and always make dua for others. We don't get anything less. We are not deprived when we make dua for others, but rather we are enriched spiritually. spiritually when we make dua for others. So be in the habit of making dua for others. Be in the habit of asking others, even young children, to make dua for you. We never know whose dua will be answered. So let's take advantage of this beautiful gift of dua in our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the people who turn to Him in dua and who seek from Him at all times. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. When we come back in the third and the last segment of this hour, we'll be continuing looking through, revising and summarizing another one of the beautiful divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've been on this journey for a number of weeks, and each week we are getting an opportunity to revise and to review what we've learned about the Asma'ul Husna, about the divine beautiful names of Allah, one name at a time. And each time we do so, we reflect, how can I live in the light of those names as the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Join us after the break as we continue that journey. A warm welcome to our last segment of the program today. And with that, our focus turns to the Asma'ul Husna. We learn in a hadith in Sahih Muslim that whoever relieves from a believer some grief pertaining to this world, Allah will relieve from him some grief pertaining to the hereafter. Whoever alleviates the difficulties of a needy person who cannot pay his debt, Allah will alleviate his difficulties in both this world and the hereafter. Whoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in this world and the hereafter. Allah will aid a servant of his so long as the servant aids his brother. Now, whenever we hear this hadith, or whenever we read this hadith, it should humble us. We are given so much for doing things that we should be doing anyway, at the very least, out of thanks because of all that we have been given. When we think of the concept of appreciation, what should immediately come to mind is that we should be appreciative and grateful for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. Everything from the material to our friends and families to the spiritual. But do we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given himself the name Ash-Shakur? So shukr is defined as recognizing and appreciating when good is done. Shakur in Arabic is also used to describe an animal that is given little food but gives back much. So it revolves around receiving something, even if small, and giving back much because of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ash-Shakur, which we will translate here as the most appreciative. Al-Ghazali tells us that Ash-Shakur is the one who rewards the practice of a few pious deeds manifold, and in response to the action of a few days, gives limitless happiness in the life to come. The one who rewards a good deed manifold is said to be grateful for that deed, while whoever commends the one who does a good deed is also said to be grateful. Yet, if you consider the multiplication factor in reward, only Allah, great and glorious, is absolutely grateful because his multiplication of the reward is unrestricted and unlimited, for there is no end to the happiness of paradise. In Surah 35, Ayah 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he may give them in full their rewards and increase for them of his bounty. Indeed, he is forgiving and appreciative. We might think, what does Allah have to be appreciative for? Everything we have is from Him. But that is why He, the Most High, is Ash-Shakur, the most appreciative, And in this form, it means he appreciates the smallest of deeds. He appreciates the deeds all the time. And his appreciation is unlimited. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urged us to do good deeds, no matter how small, as he said that we should protect ourselves from the fire by giving even half of a date in charity. Now imagine if you give more. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, do not belittle any good deed, even meeting your brother with a cheerful face. Allah appreciates the deeds that are done to all creatures, not simply humans. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates to us a story of a man who was extremely thirsty and was panting out of thirst. Right, he's extremely thirsty, he finds a well, he finds a dog that's also panting out of thirst, but he had already climbed down to fetch water to quench his own thirst. So now he sees the dog that's panting out of thirst, and he recognizes that the dog felt exactly the same way as he did. He was thirsty. So he climbs back down the well in order to get water for the dog. And Allah appreciated his action. And Allah forgave his sins. Allahu Akbar. Simple acts like glorifying Allah, saying Subhanallah 100 times, grants you so many good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even appreciates our intention. In Ibn Majah, we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes two men. One man whom Allah has bestowed upon wealth and knowledge, and he acts upon that knowledge and gives from his wealth. And another man whom Allah has given knowledge but no wealth, and that man says, if I had the wealth he had, I would do the same. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and they are rewarded the same. So go out of your way to help someone, not expecting anything in return. And someone along the road will do that for you as a reward from Allah. The Quran Kareem is a book full of virtues and benefits. At the end of certain ayat, Allah pairs two of his names together, Al-Alim, Al-Hakim, for example. And this is not random. Allah is showing us here the relationship between the two divine attributes. With Ash-Shakur, this is particularly amazing. The Da'i, Amr Khalid, explains the relationship between Ash-Shakur and the other names it is paired with in the Quran. When it comes to doing good, some of us are hesitant. I'm such a sinner. We may think, will Allah really appreciate the pathetic deeds that I do when I commit such horribly bad deeds? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in the Quran, surely our Lord is ever forgiving, appreciative. And he is most forgiving, most appreciative. This gives us the reassurance that even if we commit sinful deeds, we can return to Allah and Allah will forgive us, inshallah, while rewarding us for the good. Secondly, is that many of us crave recognition. We do good in secret, and a part of us wishes that the person we have done good for knows about it. Or at other times, we may intend to do something good, but everything goes wrong, and no one knew that your intention was to do good. To this effect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and ever is Allah appreciative and knowing. So here in Surah 4, Ayah 147, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards and appreciates the things that people may overlook. Remember that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cycle is never ending. When we deal with human beings, we could give them a gift and they respond with thanks or a gift in return, but it ends there. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us that when we thank, he gives us more. So it is a cycle of increase and encouragement for you and I to be grateful and constantly doing good. Our awareness of Allah's divine name, Ash-Shakur, should inspire in us to give as much as we can, to be there for people, to help where we can, to worship Allah in the best way that we can, to recognize that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala postpones the signs of His appreciation, and that is to build our sincerity. We should be inspired now to appreciate people, and finally to be grateful for what we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran, in Surah Ar-Rahman, is the reward for good anything but good? May Allah enable us to be thankful and appreciative servants of Ash-Shakur. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Do join us again next week as we continue with our journey of learning and living Islam, and our journey of learning and loving the divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.